Good morning. I would ask for myself your patience and your prayers this morning. I'm nervous. Had a harrowing week and yet a peaceful week, a blessed week. For those of you who don't know, my mother passed this week, and I was going through all the preparations and that comes with that, and going through some of her things and getting out pictures and so forth, and had a change in my sermon. David asked me several weeks ago, well, more than that, probably a month ago, to preach on this particular day. I had a sermon I thought was right. And then as I was going through my mother's things, going through her Bible, and which is completely worn out. She read that at least through once every year. Towards the end now, she was going through it twice a year, and pulled out a bookmark, and it had about 30 scriptures and on it, about half of them from the Old Testament, about half of them from the New Testament. So I sat down and I started reading, going through each and every one of them. And I got to know my mother a little better and what she believed, what she thought, and thought of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it kind of brought me up short. I honestly believe that she had a better understanding of what Christ would have us be and do and think and say. And so I continued to ponder this, and I was going through some more things, and in the pile of papers was one of my old sermons, which is unusual because I know most of our ministers here, they file them away. I tear mine up and I throw them away. When I preach, that particular sermon is gone. This was not. And I started going over it, and I thought, this is what I need to preach this day. And so I'm going to do that. I hope you'll bear with me. You know, I, as a man, I take things for granted. I get caught up in things, and quite often in the scheme of things. But, you know, I remember my mother saying this, and she just didn't say it. She meant it. She says, really, really, Steve, all I need is a warm place to stay and something to eat. And then she would always paraphrase, as long as I don't have to carry the wood in to keep the place. She did that when she grew up on a farm, and that was her job, is to bring in the wood to keep the place warm. And she meant it. She lived her life that way. And I wish I'd paid a little more attention to that example, because she was a contented woman. Very little in this world. Very little in this world. And so I think about myself and think about the things that I think about. And, you know, it's not what God would have me to be thinking about, to focusing on. I'd like to open with the scripture in Colossians, one of my favorites. It's out of the first chapter of Colossians, if I can find it. I'm going to have somebody help me here. No, I tell you what, I need your Bible. My Bible is so used that it is coming apart. And evidently on the way in, I lost half of my Bible. And I'm going to read from, thank you. I'm going to read starting in the first chapter of Colossians, giving with the 12th verse. And it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of God, of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're talking about the Father, we're talking about the Son, we're talking about the majesty of Christ, the purpose of Christ, what he did for you and I, it was the Father's plan, and he used the Son to accomplish that. I'm going to read on now. In whom, this is speaking of Jesus now, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the church, the body, who is the beginning and the firstborn of the dead. And in all these things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through his blood, the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So as we read about the majesty of Jesus Christ, as we read about his purpose, it puts things in my mind in perspective of where I fall into this. Where do I fit? Where do you fit in this? You know, in that 16th verse, I love this particular phrase. It says, we were, all things were, created by him. And more important, for him. You were created for Jesus Christ. I was created for Jesus Christ. And that sounds a little different to me, because here we have the creator of all universe, where all things exist and subsist by him. And here I am. What in the world does Jesus need me for? It says I was created for him. You think about that. Think about that. You know, Jesus without me would still be Jesus. And Jesus without you would still be Jesus. So why does he need me? The Son of God. Well, I'm going to liken it the way I was some 51 years ago. We're going on 52 years of marriage. And I remember when I was first married, long ago, lived over here in Margaret and Alvy's apartment house over there, $100 a month. Utilities were paid. It was furnished. Whoa, everything was just really good. We both worked. And I was in love, you know. She was my choice in life. I couldn't want for anything else. I loved her with all my heart. I figured all I needed was her. You know? I remember that. I remember that feeling. I don't need to complicate my life anymore. This is it. And I have to tell you guys, women are smarter than men. And you can laugh, but it's true. When it comes to the things of the heart and emotion and what is really important, it's in there. So I'm satisfied with my life. And I'm going on, and she approaches me and said, you know, we need kids. And the first thing that entered my mind, it didn't come out of my mouth, is, what for? You know? What in the world do I need kids for? I am happy. You know? I've got Melissa. I've got a place to stay. My life is absolutely wonderful. Then we had kids. That's another thing you need to learn. You might as well say okay from the beginning, because guys, you're gonna lose. You know, you're gonna lose. And then what happened to me? All of a sudden my world expanded. And I had more love. My love for my wife didn't diminish one bit, but my love grew. For my kids, for my grandkids, for everything. That's why I and you were created for Jesus, the same thing, that he could express his love to you and each one of us, that his love might grow. It's true. It's true. If we become satisfied with our lot in life and the amount of people that we attempt to become to love, then we're falling short of what the Lord would have for us, that our love might grow as his did when you were created for him and I was created for him. And I tell you, it's not, if you're like me, at times I'm not so easy to love. None of us are. You know, none of us are, because we're born with weaknesses and we tend to sin. And I think about, as I was reading these verses from my mother, she understood this, you know? She understood it better than I understood it. That's where the gospel of Jesus Christ comes in. You know, I've heard it said, well, how in the world can I love some of those people? You know, those people. And that's exactly the attitude from time to time that I have, and maybe you. Why do we have these commandments and these ordinances, the gospel? Guess why? To get us in a condition and prepare us that we can. It's that guiding light to bring us to a condition that we can love them. Love them more. It starts preparing our hearts. I want to turn into Hebrews. Again, thanks for your Bible. I wish the print was bigger. I'm going to read the first two verses of Hebrew. And if you read the latter part of the fifth chapter, it's talking to the Hebrews who are stuck. Okay? They're kind of stuck. And they have become, like I do from time to time, pretty much satisfied with, you know, they have the principles, they have the ordinances, they have all this the things. And then he goes on and he says in the sixth chapter, he kind of brings them up short in that fifth chapter, doesn't he? He's kind of chastising them. And in the sixth chapter, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and eternal and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Very basic things. He says, let's go on from that. Let's go on. Go on from the commandments and the ordinances that he gave us. He gave them a way to change. And we need to recognize that that's what they're for. To put off our own selfish ways and become a spiritual being. We do that. We start that process as these Hebrews did. Following those words. But he says, let us go on to perfection. And I've heard it also said, well, we can't be perfect. We can't be perfect. And I look at myself and I think that way. And maybe you've thought that way. You know, in the fifth chapter of Matthew, 48th verse, it tells us, be ye perfect even as the Father which is in heaven is perfect. And I read a verse that's a little confusing to me, used to be confusing to me. You go back to the sixth chapter of Hebrews and read the third verse. Now maybe you have understood this completely your whole life. He gives us a commandment, you know, be perfect. He tells us he wants us to be perfect. And then in the third verse it says, it's speaking of perfection. And this we will we do. What's that last phrase? If God permit. Have you found that kind of different? You know? If God permit. I did. You know, I've thought about that and I've thought about that and I've thought about it. I've thought about it and my mind, when I think about it openly, or it has come to me, and I go back to the parable with the talents where he gives, you know, these talents to these people. Three men. Gives one of them one talent, one of them two talents, one of them five talents. Have you ever asked yourself, why? Why didn't he give all three of them five talents? The one who had one talent, he could have gained another talent or five more talents. But he chose to give each one a different amount of talents. God created me. He created you. He knows me better than I know myself. He knows what I am capable of in that creation. He knows what is the best I can do. And I need to be satisfied, not give up and say, well, this is good. I want to be perfected. I want that perfection. But the difference is, what do I want it for? Why do I want to be perfected, be perfect? Is it for me? Better not be. But his disciples wanted the same thing. You remember who's going to be the greatest in heaven? And that argument that they had? And you remember the lesson that he gave them after that? And what he told them? who would be greatest in heaven? Let him be a servant to all, as Christ was a servant to all, and satisfied with that? We're selfish, okay? We think selfishly. He wants us to be converted. I look at that, I'm going off script, but that's okay. I look at the three Nephites. I look at the 12 disciples. And you know the story. The nine of them came and said what Christ asked them. What would you want of me? And they all said, you know, we'd like to live to the age of man, preaching and teaching and so forth, and we'd like to go on to our reward. He didn't say, well, I wish you wanted more than that. He said, it's good. You will. And then you know the story that the three that were left, what they wanted. They wanted to stay there and serve. For their own glory? No. No, for the glory of Christ. And they did. And God gave them that. He knew what they were capable of. Is it fair? Yeah, it's fair. Yeah, it's very fair. If it wasn't fair, you and I would be condemned to hell. You know, if everything was fair, God knows exactly what is best for you and what you are capable. He's not going to give you more than you can handle, more than you can do. You might receive one talent or two or five or 20. And you can glorify him in that. You know, and I'm not going to turn to it. I'm going to try to keep this brief. But in the Book of Mormon, maybe I'll turn to it. Let's turn to 162 in the Book of Mormon. And you know the verses. And I'm not going to start. You can go up and we're starting with the 21st verse, and you can kind of go through and see what Christ is telling these people. Okay, faith, repentance, baptism, and so forth. Okay, and then you, as you go down, after you are in following the ordinances and the commandments of Jesus Christ, starting in the 27th verse. And now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye shall not have come thus far, save it by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. What makes Jesus Christ mighty to save? Because his Father said, you're going to die and you're going to save those? No, because he wanted to do it. He was willing to be that kind of servant. That is the merits. That's the merits that makes him mighty to save. He would have us have the same joy that he has. He would. But he also knows what you can do and what I can do. He created me. Be contented and satisfied. With what he's given you. And then glorify him with it. You know, in the Book of Mormon on page 768, 53rd verse, it tells us to pray with all the energy of your heart that you might be filled with His love, with His Spirit, doesn't it? That's what it says. But up a little farther, if you read, it says He has bestowed that Spirit, a portion of that Spirit, upon all who are His sons and daughters. Yeah, I want to be filled with that Spirit. Just like I'm sure those nine wanted to be filled with His Spirit. But they were not completely filled. They had His Spirit. Okay? They had His Spirit. I hope this is making sense. Made sense to me. You and I, no matter where we stand in this, can glorify God. No matter where you are, you can glorify God. You can fulfill your purpose in which He created you. If you remember that you were created for Him, to love. So I pray that as we think about these things, as we go about our lives, that we don't think like His disciples, that we truly become selfless. And if we can't completely, He knows it. You know? He knows it. He knows what you are capable of. He knows what you desire. And that's to be perfected. It's to be filled with His love. Be satisfied and contented with your lot in this life. Do not be like His disciples before they were converted. You read the lives of His disciples, and we don't know everything about all of them. But if you look at Peter's life, you can tell when he was converted that his thought was no longer ever about himself. It was about glorifying Jesus Christ. And he was capable of that with the talents that he got, and he made the best of those talents. And I dare say that all those disciples were not given the same amount of talents as Peter. But you know, they were satisfied. And they recognized it. Where I want to be. I want to turn for a closing scripture to John, the 15th chapter. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Am I going to bear as much fruit as my brother? Maybe, maybe not. But guess what? It's up to God. It's up to God. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Purpose? Purpose of my creation? So have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. If we have that desire to want more and more and more, then our hearts aren't right. My heart's not right. He's given me it. He knows what I can do, what you can do with his Spirit. That's how we glorify God. May God bless you.